Andy, can you hear us?
I am here.
All right, wonderful. Thanks for joining us.
There you go, sir. Okay, call meeting to order. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to give the honor of reading the pledge to retired director Chuck Ryan, DOC, who for many years was a member of this board. Chuck?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Introductions, announcements, Matt?
Thanks for being here today. Thanks for this opportunity. Just a few announcements. Again, just to echo what Chief Rodbell said, it's our pleasure to welcome a former Director Ryan. He was a valuable member of this board for many years. He'll be missed. I will apologize in advance. Our plaque and certificates are behind schedule from our ordering, but we will get one to you. And if you'll be willing to come back and join us for another meeting in the future, we'd like to present that to you officially. In talking with the director, I'm also told this is the first time he's had long pants on since he retired on Friday. So he seems to be enjoying his retirement well.
Thank you for that, by the way.
I didn't say pants. I said long pants. Just a few comments and announcements. The following board members are absent for the record. Sheriff Masher, Assistant Attorney General Paul Ayler, Colonel Milstead, and the Interim Director of the Department of Corrections, Joe Profieri. We can make a few changes to your agenda as well. On the consent agenda items on the training audit deficiencies, we're going to remove Timothy Cooper from Chandler PD, Joe Nunez from Clifton PD, and Rex Gilliland from Coconino County Sheriff's Office. They have complied. It says also the board communication incorrectly shows the officers on the list as all being from Sholo PD. That's incorrect. The agenda showed the new agenda should show the correct agencies that they're assigned. And then the last announcement is final action case number 3 for Danielle R. DeClay. It's 19005. Will be tabled. That was going to be a final action case, but there's been some new information where she was unable to respond. So therefore, we're giving her an opportunity to be heard and have a hearing. So again, that's why we're tabling that for now. And Mr. Chairman, that's all I have for announcements. If you'd like, I can move right into my director's report.
Yes, sir, please.
Just a few things to cover. I feel like every time I've stood up here for the last 3 or 4 months, I've announced a new employee or some reorganization. We continue to reorganize. We continue to move people around. We've moved Cindy Sawyer from basic training to in-service training, and we hired a new compliance specialist. One person on this board will recognize the name, but we're bringing on, effective next Monday, Dave Toporek from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. He retired as a deputy chief. He was out for a few months, came back to them as a civilian employee, and would bring him on next week to be a compliance specialist, and he will serve the eastern side, or the western side of Arizona. So we're really excited about having him on board. Also really excited about all the changes that we've made on the in-service training side. Again, and I keep beating this drum, but as you all know, we had financial issues several years ago. Jacqueline did a really good job working with Lynn, putting us in a very good financial position. But one of the things that took a hit was in-service training. So you're going to start to see that all come back now. Ben Henry and his shop redid our background investigator school. We hosted one last week or 2 weeks ago here in town. We have another one coming up that will be hosted out in Mesa. And then we have one in October up in Prescott for background investigators. And it's been extremely well received. We either had to expand the facility in Mesa. We had to get a bigger facility because we wanted to put more people in it because we couldn't. We kept turning people away. So we want to make sure everyone who wants to go to that class gets an opportunity to go to that class. So again, you're going to start seeing more and more classes come out through the in-service training. Currently right now, Kip Rustenberg and her team is working with the NASRO, which is the National Association of School Resource Officers, to put on in conjunction. We got an ask from the state legislator last year to put on additional training for school resource officers. So you're going to see that coming out in the fall, late fall, early winter. Going into next year, we're going to do 2 classes down here. We're going to do 1 up north and 1 down south. It's a day and a half of basically de-escalation, communication skills, interacting with the juvenile mind. So it's a really good national program that NASRO puts on that we're going to bring here. We are hosting it. We are going to pay all the registration fees. And it's something, again, it's coming out of the governor's office, and they're really excited about it, and so are we. So again, I should be coming up every month over the next year and telling you about all the new programs that Kip and her team are rolling out that I think that are just going to be really well received all around the state. So again, we keep listening, we accept feedback, and then we're answering all those questions and concerns about training around the state. So that gives me a lot of excitement. I've talked last couple months about our survey. I filmed a video. I read off a teleprompter. Some people might have told me I looked mean and angry when I was reading off the teleprompter, so we did it again. So we should be looking. I think Dan's got the final product here that will be going out with an introduction to the survey that will be going out to the 160 department heads in the state that hire peace officers to solicit feedback on what, if any, rule changes they want to see. We've already submitted our documentation to the governor's office requesting permission from an exemption from the rulemaking process. We're just waiting to hear back on that. We're just collecting information at this point. We haven't done anything official moving forward on that. Everyone knows I sent a notice, but Nina O'Connor retired effective a week ago Friday. It was a short notice retirement. She was really, really good with it. She said it was just her time to go. She says she's been working for 40 plus years and she wants a break. So she'll be missed. She was the one that greeted everyone when you first walked in. She made me laugh every day. Someone might have told me I was a Nina whisperer at one point because I could get things accomplished. But she was a wonderful woman. Yeah, she was here for 13 years, if I remember correctly, 14 years. And again, she'll be missed. We're in the process of working through DPSHR to get a replacement for her. So as soon as we have someone identified, I'll let you know. And then just one other thing I want to talk about. Marie Dreyer and her team issued a comprehensive final exam around the state. As you, most of you might not know, because it's been so long since you've taken it, but we are still doing it with a number two pencil and a Scantron form. And I just would argue that's a little way behind the times. We're so far behind the times that the company came to us and said, hey, we're phasing that technology out by the end of the year. You need to upgrade. So we had them come in about 3 weeks ago and give us a presentation. We were hoping that it would meet some of our other needs and other areas, but we think it's really strictly just going to be settled on the comprehensive final exam. So you should start seeing that by the end of the year roll out. We'll be issuing it a different way. We've talked to all 14 of the academies. They all have the ability to issue it on a computer. So no longer we'll be handing out Scantron forms, and we'll be able to update it a little bit easier, a little bit quicker. But again, when I went with Cindy, I had the pleasure of going up to Cindy to NARDA to watch her issue an exam. I was laughing because half these, and I'll call them kids because they're all young enough to be my children, but they were looking at these Scantron forms like, what is this? How does this even work? So again, we're not changing rules. We're not changing. We're just modernizing, and this is one project that it's long overdue. So as soon as that's online, and maybe we can provide a demonstration of how it works. It's actually really a really interesting program that actually could be used for weekly testing as well at the academies. We haven't gotten there yet. Some of the other academies are using similar programs, and we're looking maybe to be that one point of to be a central point of communication where we could do that, use that product for all the academies. We're not there yet. We're going to start small with the comprehensive final exam and then adjust accordingly. Again, trying to keep it a little brief. Small group today, but again, I'm happy to answer any questions. Our budget, let me go back, our budget is we're still in the same place. We're in a really good financial position. The CJA funds continue to be a little bit on the low end, but we've made up that through appropriations from the governor's office. Again, we're in a really good position from some vacancy savings. We're going to be upgrading some technology here that hasn't been upgraded in many years. Our new chief technology officer is doing a great job overhauling our system. Our system's antiquated. He's been making some updates, and we're just looking. We're creating a plan. I'm really big into plan. What's it look like in 5 years? What do we need to do now so we're ready in 5 years when things change? So that's kind of the focus we're all using. So I'm excited about that. But as we update these projects and update our technology, I'll keep everyone abreast of what we're doing. But with that, I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have or any concerns.
Questions for the director on the phone? Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Brings us to the consent agenda, correct? So, had a chance to review the consent agenda. Any questions on the consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Jamie Kelly, second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, any other questions? No. Any All those in favor passing the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those say nay. Motion passes. That brings us to the final action cases.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, Mark Brechtel. I didn't hear Mr. Lefevre on the phone and whether he voted or not on that. And I apologize.
No problem. I couldn't hear either, so. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Andy, can you hear us?
Sorry, I was on mute. I can hear you.
Did you vote on that on the consent agenda? We couldn't hear you.
I voted. Yeah, I voted aye. Sorry, I didn't realize I was on mute till just now.
Thank you, Andy.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That brings us to final action cases. Case number 17-063, Lauren J. Bureau. Motion for reconsideration. Mr. Brockdale.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am appearing today as the advocate for the agency because this case was assigned to me a year ago when I was the advocate for the agency. As such, we have an independent advisor, Mark Harris, here in case you have any legal questions about the case. So in front of you is a motion to reconsider this case. The state is requesting that the board dismiss this action. A little bit of historical background. The board initiated a complaint in this matter on April 18th, 2018. The allegations in the complaint are that Ms. Burrow, the respondent, did not attend and complete a training class in August 2011, and that she stated to her employer that she did complete the class. So the allegation in the complaint is one of dishonesty. The case was assigned to me to litigate, and a hearing was set in August of this year. During pretrial preparation, I worked closely with the post-investigator on the case, Ms. Lori Waite. And during our pretrial investigation, Ms. Waite was able to locate several material witnesses important to this case. And those material witnesses were interviewed. I attended those interviews with the investigator. At the close of those interviews and upon further review of the testimony that would be presented at hearing, it's the state's recommendation that the case be dismissed, that there's a lack of evidence for the state to prevail at hearing. And so it doesn't appear that the board can demonstrate by a preponderance of evidence that respondent committed the conduct as alleged in the complaint. So a little bit more background. Once again, the case rises and falls on whether Ms. Burrow attended and completed a two-hour e-training class in 2011. At that time, she was a special investigator employed by the Attorney General's office, and it's in special investigation section. The specific class was a class called FAA Flying While Armed. And I think most of you on the board would be aware that if someone in your agency wants to fly armed on an airplane, you have to be certified to fly armed in your capacity as a law enforcement officer. That's what the class entailed. So once again, material witnesses were found. They were interviewed. There is now a lack of evidence in the state's opinion to proceed forward. The board is requested to remand the case back to itself and to dismiss the complaint. Does anyone have any questions?
Questions, Mr. Walker?
I have a question. Yes, sir. So we got to make two votes on that, or can we put it into one vote?
It can be. No.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I would prefer that we do two motions. The first would be to rescind the action to initiate proceedings, and if that passes, then a motion to dismiss, if you think that's the appropriate disposition in the matter. Thank you.
Any further questions? Is anyone else here to speak to this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Steve Cerbolic is available to talk. He's counsel for Ms. Burrow.
Mr. Small, would you like to speak?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'd like to tell you that I think that Mark is actually selling the post staff a little bit short in the sense of what they've actually done here. And I think that the board should know that their staff has done a phenomenal job on this matter. As you know, post relies upon certain investigations and certain materials. When they bring it to you guys, then we go to a hearing to basically make factual determinations in front of a hearing officer. In this case, I want to make sure that I commend the staff for taking the time to work with me, my client, and with the investigators to make sure that you guys have the right product. And when they realize that the best way forward to basically protect the public and the due process rights of a certified law enforcement officer, when they realize that, you know, there'd been a material change for what they had with the board, they're doing the right thing here to ask for that remand and then basically the dismissal of this action. So I wanted to make sure that I was here to let you guys know that your staff is doing a very good job in making sure that the investigations are thorough and accurate, and also addressing kind of a concern that I have on my side of the table, which is, you know, I want to make sure that you guys have a good understanding of the cases when you're taking the action. So I wanted to take the time so that you were fully informed that in this case, I worked closely with them throughout this process in preparation for the hearing. And I want to commend them for what I would say is almost going above and beyond. It's a rare day that I get to come up here and say I fully agree with your staff. And this is one of those instances. So I just wanted to take the time to say that and hope that the board, obviously I agree with the motion and the dismissal. So unless you have any questions, that's all
Thank
I have.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Okay, thank you, sir. I'm hearing noise. I don't know if
it's Andy.
Oh, it's Andy. I know if he needed to speak up or not, so just let us know, please. Thank you. Okay, so with no further questions, the chair will entertain a motion.
Matt Medina, I move to grant the state's motion for reconsideration and rescind the board's prior action of voting to initiate proceedings.
Chris Pittman, second.
I have a motion and a second. With that, any further questions? Seeing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
And I say aye too, I forgot, because chair doesn't usually vote, but I'm part of the board today, so aye as well. Thank you. Motion passes. There is a second motion required in this action, so I'll entertain a second motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Pittman. I motion that we dismiss the matter in the borough case number 17-063.
Mark Daniels, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That brings us to our second case number 19049, David A. Chateau.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. This case was initiated by the board, and a complaint was sent to the fact that Officer Shadow, or he was a cadet at the time, interfered with an investigation by encouraging people that were on scene of a fight to not cooperate with the police, and then he was subsequently dishonest with Academy staff, both in a written documentation of this event and when interviewed. A complaint was mailed to and receipted for on June 26th of 2019, and Officer or Cadet Shadow has failed to respond or request a hearing. Staff's recommendation in looking at these cases similar with similar facts, the board has revoked certification. Are there any questions?
Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chair, I make a motion to mark down, sorry, make a motion to accept the findings and facts, conclusion of law, and
Mr. Chairman,
it should be a
denial case. I apologize. It's a denial case, not a revocation.
I modify my vote to denial.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second. Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed signify by nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Brings us to case number 18136, Jade R. Gishi. Ms. Waite.
Good morning, sir, members of the board. Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. The Post Board voted to initiate proceedings on Ms. Gishy on June 19th, 2019, this year. The certified letter of complaint was returned to Arizona Post. However, the complaint that was sent through U.S. mail was not returned to us. Neither Gishy nor her attorney has requested an administrative hearing in this matter within the 30-day time requirement. Just some historical knowledge for you. On October 11th, 2018, last year, DPS trooper Gulasane attempted to stop a vehicle for several traffic violations to include speed, weaving, and failure to stop at two stop signs. The vehicle failed to yield to trooper Gulasane by accelerating away from him and making two left turns. The vehicle eventually stopped in front of a residence in the Holbrook area, and the driver was identified by the trooper as Jade Gishy. The trooper began a criminal investigation as Ms. Gishy exhibited signs and symptoms of alcohol and or drug impairment. And during the investigation, Ms. Gishy actually fled the scene on foot and attempted to hide in the bed of a pickup truck at a nearby residence. She was subsequently arrested for unlawful flight from a pursuing law enforcement vehicle and several other charges related to being under the influence of an intoxicating beverage. When the officer tried to administer a breath test, she refused. And when he was trying to administer a blood test on her, she tried to interfere on more than one occasion with the blood draw. Her alcohol concentration came back to be at 0.259%. She was a recruit in the academy at that time, the academy up in Snowflake. So she entered into a plea agreement and pled guilty to attempted unlawful flight from a pursuing law enforcement vehicle. It was a Class 6 undesignated felony and a DUI under a Class 1 misdemeanor. She was sentenced this year on July 23rd to serve 18 months of regular probation and 10 days in jail. That 10 days in jail commences November 1st of this year. Research on past similar facts-based circumstances, the board has voted to deny peace officer certification in cases such as these.
Do we have any questions? Seeing none, I entertain a motion.
Matt Medina, I'll make the motion to accept the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and vote to deny certification.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
First Pittman, second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Lee. Brings us to new cases, 19002 Stephen K. Perko. Ms. Hawes. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. Stephen Perko, formerly with the Tucson Police Department, was in the academy at Saletzi when he was seen by a current TPD officer. That officer reported to the background unit concerns he had about Perko trying to become a police officer based on his interaction with him while they both were employed at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. He said Perko had a meltdown at work and left on bad terms. The background unit gathered additional information not available when Perko was recommended for hire, which revealed multiple concerns regarding untruthfulness both on his TPD application and Pima County SO application for a detention officer. There were multiple employers where he was not truthful about why he was no longer working for them. When he was confronted with this information during his IA interview, he provided the motivation to lie in the interview by stating, that his employment history made him unhirable. So that was his excuse for why he misrepresented his employment history. Perko resigned prior to the conclusion of the interview. The investigation was closed as sustained, resigned in lieu of termination. Had Perko not resigned, the sanction would have been termination. Arizona Post staff researched similar fact-based circumstances and cases and recommends to the board that you initiate proceedings.
Any questions, Ms. Hawes? Seeing none, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Goodman, I'll move that we initiate proceedings.
Mark Daniel, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further comments or concerns? Thank you. seeing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Brings us to case number 19-094, Douglas Bremer, Steve Jacobs. Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, sir. This informed involves a former Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy, Douglas Bremer, who on May 24th of 2018 was on patrol in the rural area separating Surprise and Wickenburg. That night, he responded to a call for service. Instead of following the main road back to the highway, he followed a dirt path that paralleled the CAP Project Canal. When he came up to where the railroad tracks and the canal cross, he attempted to maneuver between the chain link fence and the railroad track. The vehicle slid down and sideswiped the post of a chain link fence. He did not recall and report the accident, but did stayed on patrol for approximately 2 hours. Eventually, he did call his supervisor, reported the damage, and reported it as that he had struck a tree while going through the desert, sideswiped a tree stump. The supervisor asked for a photograph of the damage. He obtained that, and upon seeing the extent of the damage, he wanted Deputy Bremer to stand by that he was sending someone out to investigate the accident. Deputy Bremer went out and began combing the desert area, found a tree stump off a dirt road, pulled up to it, sideswiped the tree stump, and waited for deputies to respond to investigate the accident. It was noted that the damage was not consistent with the information that was provided by Deputy Bremer. Supervisors responded, and they noted that there was paint transfer on the vehicle that would not have come off the tree. Also, there was wood debris in some of the damage, indicating that he had struck the tree. Deputy Bremer at first denied having struck anything else other than the tree stump, but eventually admitted to having hit the fence, and then began to deny having hit the tree stump on purpose. He was let go. Are there any questions?
Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mark Daniels will make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Tom Pell, second.
I have a motion and a second for discussion. Those in favor of the motion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. It must be in a different time zone. There's a little bit of a time delay. Okay, that brings us to case 19-104, David M. Guerra, Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, this is a cadet that was hired by the Kingman Police Department, and even before he started the academy, this incident occurred. That on July 24th, 2019, recruit David Guerra has a 7-year-old son who went to school. During the school time, he talked to his teacher, claiming that his head hurt. When the teacher noticed a contusion on his forehead, she asked what happened, and he said he had been kicked by his father. Child Protective Services was called. They also, along with police, and during the interview, they did an interview with the 7-year-old boy who, again, reiterated that he had been kicked by his father. The boy had a sister also that attended the school that's 2 years his senior. They met and spoke with the sister, and she advised him that he had not been hit that day or kicked that day by his father, that he had actually been kicked the day before, that the day in question the father had struck him in the head with his knuckles. The cadet was contacted and questioned, and at first adamantly denied ever having struck his child or abused his child, but then during the interview admitted to having done so. This person was indicted on 9 August and is pending criminal prosecution. Are there any questions?
Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to initiate proceedings.
You are.
Tom Keller.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, Medina, I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, aye. Nay. Thank you. Mr. Jacobs, you have the next one as well, 19066, Deborah S. Thompson.
Yes. Officer Thompson, formerly with the Arizona Western College Campus Police, was in a relationship with the Mr. CR. They cohabitated. That relationship fell apart, and they separated. However, all of Mr. CR's property remained in the house with Officer Thompson. After they continued communicating, eventually Officer Thompson obtained an order of protection against Mr. CR, but however, phone records indicate that they continued to text and speak to one another on a regular basis. Officer Thompson in May informed her, Mr. CR informed Officer Thompson in May that he was going to gather his belongings because he was moving to Tennessee. Officer Thompson contacted the Yuma County Sheriff's Office, filed a complaint against CR for violating the order of protection by communicating with her. During that investigation, the county attorney's office questioned Officer Thompson regarding the property, and the county attorney's office was informed by Officer Thompson that she had donated all of his property to Goodwill. A further investigation was initiated by the Yuma County Sheriff's Office, and it was discovered that only a very, very small portion of his property had been donated to Goodwill, that the remaining amount of his property, totaling of about $15,000, was either given away or destroyed. Officer Thompson has been indicted on theft, and although there is no trial date set at this time, there is a settlement hearing scheduled for the 23rd of this month, with the status hearing scheduled for the 26th. Officer Thompson did admit during the investigation to having given or destroyed the property of Mr. CR. In similar cases, the board has initiated action on such cases.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Pittman, I'll move that we initiate proceedings.
Mark Daniels, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. That concludes our cases for today. The next order of business is a call to the public. Do you have any member of the public that would like to address the board? Thank you. And then future agenda items, Matt.
Chief, if I could just go back, and I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce Tammy Schleifer. She started with us a week ago Monday. She, too, comes from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. Paul Pinzon's probably not speaking to me anymore. But again, you know, we needed someone on that side of the house. We had an opening when Cheryl Holiday went to the DPS headquarters. Tammy's is going to be a wonderful fit. She's a hard worker, gets things done. Her and Kip have worked together for years. So again, we're excited that we keep having these changes and reorganizations, and I think breathing a little additional life into Arizona Post. So again, Tammy, I apologize for missing the original announcement. So welcome aboard.
On behalf of the board, welcome.
Thank you.
And then no future agenda items from my perspective, unless there's something that specifically the board would like us to look into or review.
Anything from the board? No, not at this time. Thank you. And that brings us to adjournment. So I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Tom Kelly makes a motion to adjournment.
So moved. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. I'll do that again, too.